Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we are the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people. And that middle wall of separation, it's finally come down to merge that ancient Jewish anointing with the new covenant Christian anointing. It's like the DNAs are getting merged together for the sound of Elijah, the spirit of Elijah, that is about ready to be poured on all flesh. And I have on the telephone a man that many of you have heard of. His name is Pastor Steve Hill. He's senior pastor of Heartland World Ministries Church in Dallas, Texas. But he's better known for the Brownsville Revival. And we'll get to that in a moment. But when I think of Steve Hill, I think of Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. Steve, when I think of you, I see such incredible compassion for the lost. If it's possible, where did that come from?
That question, tears come to my eyes because I shouldn't be talking to you today. I should have been dead years ago. I was a drug addict, an alcoholic for many, many years, a mainliner. For those unfamiliar with that terminology, I used needles, stuck heroin, morphine, anything in my veins. I was a mess. I hit rock bottom when I was 21 years old back in 1975. And a Lutheran minister led me to the Lord.
But there is a secret hero in your life, and it's got to do with your mom. What are some of your recollections when you were just so stoned you could barely function?
Well, attention all moms out there. Don't ever stop praying, because God answers prayer. The greatest experience that I can remember during those difficult days was when I was in a drunken stupor, a drug-induced stupor. About 25 friends of mine were over at the house. We were downstairs in my bedroom. We had just robbed a major drugstore, had a lot of Class A narcotics, and we had stuck needles in our arms. We had just almost at a point of overdosing, every one of us. We had taken the needles and thrown them like darts up in the ceiling where blood was dripping from the needles. My mom came in. She saw it. She said, "Oh, my God." She went up the stairwell. I got up because I heard her voice, and I was so afraid she was going to call the police. I followed her upstairs. She walked past the telephone, went into her bedroom, shut the door, and I stood outside the door. I thought it was locked. I waited to hear her pick up the phone, but she didn't. She had a phone in her bedroom. I turned the knob, and she was on her face praying to Jesus, saying, "Oh, God, save my son."
And you would not be here today if you didn't have a praying mom.
No, there's no doubt in my mind that she was the one who kept knocking at heaven's door.
Okay, age 21. You literally thought you were dying. You went into convulsions. Tell me about that.
I had been doing drugs. I'd started drinking and getting high when I was 9 years old. For some, that may sound a little early, but my father was an alcoholic, and I started drinking with my dad, and it didn't take long to go into marijuana, then into the other narcotics. And so by the time I was 21, my body was giving up, basically. I'd been in jail 12 times for sales of drugs, for drug-induced crimes. And so my body was started going through hot and cold, just convulsions, hot and cold sweats. And it was just giving up. It was shutting down, Sid. And I didn't understand it. I feel like now there was a lot of demon possession involved in that, because I had opened myself up to anything that was out there. I used to hitchhike across the United States, and as you do that, you open yourself up to every cult that's out there giving out free sandwiches and lemonade. And so I'd invited so much into my life, and so it was a crisis when Christ came in.
Your mom thought you were dying. You thought you were dying. This pastor comes in, and what did he tell you to do?
You know, what was amazing is he came in, sat at the edge of my bed. My bed was vibrating. My eyeballs were jumping back and forth in their sockets. This was 72 hours of violent convulsions. And I'd gone through convulsions before through withdrawals, but this was totally different. It was more violent than anything I'd experienced. And he said to me, "Steve, I can't help you, but I know somebody who can. His name is Jesus, and he's in this room." And I remember, Sid, looking around the room for someone else. That's how ignorant I was of God. And then he said, "No, he's here. His spirit is here, and he wants to touch you." And he said, "Pray with me." And I said, "I don't know how to pray." And then he said those wonderful words. He said, "Just say the name Jesus." So, Sid, I began to say the name Jesus over and over again. As I'm sharing this right now, I really feel that there's some people that are listening. You're going, "My Lord, my son's going through the same thing. I'm going through the same thing. My friend, there is power in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. There's deliverance in the name of Jesus." As I began saying his name, the presence of God invaded my room. I knew nothing of religion, nothing of Christianity. There was no hope in the natural, but the power of Christ came into my body within 30 seconds. It was as if I'd never taken an aspirin. My body had never taken a drunk a beer, never smoked pot. My body just went totally limp, and Jesus Christ set me free.
I'm speaking to Steve Hill, and that is the answer to the question I asked. To him who's forgiven much, they love much. And Father's Day, 1995, you were not even supposed to be the speaker at Brownsville Church in Pensacola, Florida. But how did you happen to speak there that day?
Well, it's one of the secrets that I don't share with a lot of folks, and so I'm going to share it with your audience as long as they
can keep a secret. Okay.
But I called John Kilpatrick earlier. Because John Kilpatrick he's a pastor of the church. He had offered me some money for my work in Russia. I was building a drug rehab center in Russia. And I'd contacted him several months earlier, and he promised me $5,000. And so he hadn't coughed up the money, so I thought I'd just call him up and see if he'd send it. And we started talking about revival. This was around March of 95. And the next news you know, he said, "Steve, why don't you come to the church?" And I said, "I have no openings. I'm booked solid for the next year and a half. The only opening I have is Father's Day." And he said, "Will you come on Father's Day?" And Sid, what I thought to myself, and forgive me, but I wasn't being very spiritual. I thought that if I could go to the church on that Father's Day, and it was Saturday night he wanted me to speak. Sunday night, excuse me, that Father's Day night. If I could come to that evening service, and then at least I'd get my $5,000, they'd take up an offering, and I'd get my money.
I didn't know that evangelist even thought that way, but thank you for being transparent. Go ahead, Steve.
Confessions of an evangelist. But, you know, God used that to bring me to that church, and little did either one of us know that he was about to pour his spirit out in a way that America had not seen in 100 years.
History reveals in that sleepy little southern town how many people approximately made professions of faith.
Probably 400,000 to 500,000 people gave their lives to Christ. These were backsliders coming home, brand new people getting saved. 4 million people came through the doors of the church, but it was almost as if we were just riding this wave, Sid, of the presence and power of God. There were people that would come to the church, and I know this program's all about miracles. There were people that would come to the church who would never make it inside the church. In the parking lot, the presence of God would come down so strong, they would be stunned. And one lady told me she spent the entire evening in her car because she couldn't get out of the car. She couldn't open the doors because of the presence of God in the car. Then she showed up at the revival the next night, but she had actually been there the night before.
Steve, I'm interviewing you on your latest book, Operating in the Miraculous. You're a man that has seen more people saved, more miracles than almost anyone I know. You're still a young man. You had a miracle in your life. You had an incurable disease. You would have been dead if God didn't heal you. It was hepatitis. You've written these principles in your latest book, Operating in the Miraculous. But some would say, well, I understand why Steve Hill, can do that, but could I do that? What would your answer be?
My answer is, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. In my name they shall heal the sick. My friend, that is why I wrote the book, Operating in the Miraculous, because as a pastor, as an evangelist, we see most people lean on the clergy. They lean on the men and women of God, and I'm saying, not according to the Word of God. According to the Word of God, we should all be out there doing the work of the Lord. So I wanted to put a manual. Of course, our manual is the Bible. But I wanted to pull from the Word of God principles that would help every man, woman, and child begin to operate in the supernatural. And it, I'm going to tell you, Sid, it is working. People are using it, and they're being so surprised at how God is using them.
Just off the top of your head, tell me a few specific comments that people have said after they've read your book.
Oh, one individual read it and went out and went to a hospital and had a friend that was in a coma. And as you ask me that question, my mind just gets filled up with these stories because I love testimonies. They're just they're like gasoline in the automobile. Okay, it keeps it going. And she went to the hospital, and her friend was in a coma. And this friend was not going to live. She was on life support, and they had already called the family in. And this individual who read the book went in and sat down next to her. And one of the points in the book is I tell people to develop an atmosphere for miracles. And most hospital rooms are not an atmosphere for miracles. They're pretty dull. They're pretty drab. And, you know, a lot of wires, a lot of hoses, a lot of noises, but not a whole lot of anticipation for a miracle. So she began singing, I am the God that healeth thee, just singing a song. And then she started reading scripture over her friend, and her eyes popped open. And she said, what happened? Where have I been? What's going on? And she said, well, you've been in a coma. And this friend, by the way, did not know Jesus. And so my friend, this individual, was able to lead her to the Lord.
Listen, healed, saved,
come on.
Filled with the Spirit, donation of $18. Get the book, do the same, Operating in the Miraculous. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me. Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or archives of our radio and TV shows, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.